Environment Matters, sponsored by Wuka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wuka.co.uk and join the revolution.
Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Right now, we're facing a man-made disaster of global scale. Our greatest threat in thousands of years, climate change. If we don't take action, the collapse of our civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world is on the horizon. Now, those aren't my words. Those are the words of David Attenborough at the opening ceremony of the United Nations-sponsored climate talks in Katowice in Poland back in December. And the call for urgent action on climate change isn't new. And there isn't a shortage of advice as to what we should be doing to help. But in the face of so much advice, it can be hard knowing where to start. And with limited time and resources, what can we do that will be most effective? Now, the Harpenden-based group Our Planet, Our Future recently held a meeting entitled Low Carbon Living, and the speaker was Carolina Karlstrom. Carolina writes the blog Low Carbon Woman and advises businesses on sustainability through her consultancy Jade Advisory. I thought you'd like to hear some of Carolina's advice, and she joined me on the telephone. So Carolina, thank you very much for joining me. So we've been watching people enduring record low temperatures in the American Midwest, and frankly, it has been pretty chilly here. I mean, you can see why we find it hard to believe that global warming is a problem. Is it really that urgent to reduce our carbon emissions?
Yes, Amanda, it is. And I like to say that there's a big difference here. We're talking about weather versus climate. Sorry. So weather is of the daily variations that we see, which can be cold snaps, it can be rain, it can be sunny, it can be all of that we see on a daily basis. While climate, they are the long-term trends. You can basically say it's the average weather over a long period of time. And climate change is exactly that. Change in the weather patterns over a long period of time. And with climate change, we're going to experience more extreme weathers. So global warming is, I think climate change is a better word than global warming, because it doesn't entail just warming of the planet. It includes a lot of other impacts as well. And cold snaps can be one of them. And in particular for the US, there was split polar vortex who's sending cold Arctic air down across the continent, which caused that. And that is things that can still happen with climate change.
Okay, so even though record cold temperatures, this can all be actually possibly even caused by global climate change. It's certainly not inconsistent with the idea at all.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. Yep. So it is urgent. We need to do something about it. How much do we need to cut our carbon emissions here in the UK to safeguard the climate?
Yeah, so that's kind of it's a quite complicated question, actually. So there are many studies that have been made to show what carbon budget we have left. And the carbon budget basically is that all the countries of the world have agreed to limit temperature increase on the planet globally. And so to do that, we need to make sure that we limit the amount of carbon emissions between now and the end of the century. And that amount that we can spend, if you wish, is our carbon budget. And these studies that have been made, they range from showing that we have actually already exceeded it by emissions to date, and other studies showing that we have another sort of 10 to 15 years of emissions at the current rate that can be allowed before we drastically need to reduce our carbon emissions.
Okay.
And human activity across the whole globe is causing emissions of about 42 billion tons of carbon every year. It's just such a huge number. It's very difficult to kind of imagine what that is. But we need to reduce that by 50%. By 2030, and that's just 11 years away, so it's not long at all. And that's why there's an urgency.
Okay, 50% by 2030. So this is going to require actually quite big changes, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Indeed, it is. And I think the important thing to remember here is that it is big changes, can't be just any one person's, any one government's responsibility. We all have to sort of pull our actions together and all make a contribution.
Right. Okay. So this is something we all need to take part in. So, well, that's good. We can all do something, I suppose. That's a nice empowering feeling, isn't it? So, there is lots of advice about what we should do to cut our carbon. Where is the best place to start? What's the best thing to start doing?
So I would say the best thing to start doing, if you're wanting to do a big change, say, if you're wanting to make a big difference, something that's relatively straightforward is actually to have a look at your energy bills and who is providing your electricity. Who's your electricity supplier today? There are websites easily available where you can have a look and see who might offer you potentially even a better deal than what you might be on already by switching to 100% renewable electricity.
Okay.
And then obviously we have gas as well warming up, and that is not fully sustainable, but a lot of organisations are working towards that. So it's worth having a look and see what sort of sustainable gas options there are as well.
Okay. So that's relatively simple, actually, carrying on pretty much like we are, but just changing over so that rather than getting electricity from fossil fuels, instead we're buying it from renewable sources. Excellent.
Indeed, absolutely.
Well, that does sound like a great thing to do. And as you say, something we can do, without actually possibly even spending much money at all. I'm wondering, actually, if for different people, they should have different priorities. I mean, if, say, for instance, somebody's a frequent flyer, is that a good place to start? Or perhaps if you do a lot of miles in a car, do we all have different priorities, or can we sort of just give good guidance that we can all look at?
It's helpful to give good guidance that we all can look at. If you are a frequent flyer, there might be many reasons for that, or that you, if you're driving many miles in a car. But I think, so I mentioned your energy supply as being one thing that you can change. Other things that you can change is definitely looking at how you are transporting yourself, whether it's whether you're at home or whether it's through your company if you're traveling for work. To identify modes of travel that have less carbon emissions. So for those really, really short ones, definitely, put on a good pair of shoes and walk, or take the bike if you've got one. And that's very good for your health as well, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's a win-win there. And other longer types of travel, there's definitely a need to be looking at how we do, whether it's affordable potentially to have an electric vehicle, whether there is public transport that you can use, or whether you can maybe car share with others.
Yes. I suppose we often forget about just giving somebody a lift, don't we, actually?
That absolutely,
cuts the carbon by half for that journey, if rather than both of you taking a car.
Indeed. And you can, with a bit of forward planning, all of that is very, very possible. And you'll have a nicer journey as well. You can chat to someone along the way.
Well, yes. Like you said, so often, actually, these changes are win-win. As you say, the active exercise, great for the planet, great for us. Sharing lifts, much more fun, great for the planet as well. So that's
absolutely
that's very good. So you've spoken a little bit about transport there. We've spoken about changing your energy supplier. Other things that we can do in the home that might make a big difference?
Oh, yes, definitely. One of the bigger things, and there was even a study saying that the single most important thing that an individual can do is actually to think about what you're eating. So looking at reducing your intake of meat and dairy is going to be very beneficial. And again, it's a win-win. You have the benefits for your health in reducing, in particular, beef intake, for example.
Right.
So that is a really, really big thing that we can all do. And it might be, you don't have to necessarily be super drastic. It could be about having a meat-free Monday or looking at a day or a few a week where you cook something vegetarian or vegan instead.
Right, okay. So wherever you are, just making cuts from there. So as you say, if you're a big meat eater, just perhaps try going for one day a week without meat. Perhaps if you have meat four times a week, trying to cut that down. So as you say, we can all do a little thing there. And it's worth thinking about the dairy as well. Is that, sort of thinking about milk alternatives perhaps instead?
Yeah, so there are different types of, you can get, obviously, dairy cutting back on the cacao milk, but you can get other types of milk. There is soy milk, there is oat milk that you can try instead, and or skipping the milk entirely if it's in your coffee, but or your tea, but that might not be...
Well, I'd say different things, different things for different people.
Absolutely.
And with our food, actually, is it more important to cut down on the meat and dairy than try to just eat local stuff? Or I suppose we should perhaps do that as well. But, you know, at one time we were concerned about things being flown from abroad, but you think the meat and dairy is more important?
I think it is, yes. I think it is more important. And then having said that, as you said, it is also... definitely, you know, the locally grown that hasn't got many air miles behind it, seasonally grown. We don't really have to eat strawberries in December,
yes.
Do we?
It's a classic thing, isn't it? No, we don't need to. Yes. They're often not so good anyway, are they?
Indeed. They don't taste very nice anyway. So, and the nutritional value has also been shown that if it's really out of season, it's not as high. So again, there's so many win-win situations in this.
Right. Okay. So we've done thinking about our transport, thinking about where we got our electricity from, making those changes to our diet. Now, many of us try. You know, we're trying to cut down on things like plastic packaging, reduce our plastic use. Is that going to have a big effect on our carbon footprint?
It does as well, because plastic is, as you know, it's made out of oil, really, from the beginning.
Yeah.
So there is a need from the sort of fossil fuel perspective to cut down on that. And also the plastic has obviously been really highlighted in particular last year, being a big, big issue because there's so much of it globally that ends up in our oceans. And there's so much that also ends up in landfill that we are not recycling in the way that we could by any means.
Right, so okay. And I was just going to say, so recycling, so is that reducing our carbon footprint if we recycle?
It is. So reducing is obviously one thing. Avoiding the plastic bag shops here in the UK obviously charge for them. So, you know, to reuse, etc. is the best one always to reduce. Recycle is as well, because to use virgin material is often more energy intensive and using more fossil fuels.
Right. Okay. So they're just thinking about certain types of plastic. That think about more stuff in general. Is that a big part of it? I mean, we love buying stuff, don't we? Clothes, you know, stuff for the house, stuff for the garden, just stuff, stuff, stuff. Is that a big part of our carbon footprint? Do we need to think about that?
Yeah, so I keep saying yes to all these things, and I don't want it for people to feel that it's daunting. However, it does have an impact. We are living in a society which has got really high consumerism, and we buy and we throw away, and we buy and we throw away, whether it's clothes or stuff. So it's a big thing to actually think about that as well. You know, what kinds of, maybe it's worth buying quality clothing instead, if you're able to, of course, or from second hand. You can find really nice things second hand many times.
Yeah.
And there are also very innovative things where you, again, online, you can find where you can sort of basically share your clothing almost, but, you know, hire in terms, in the same way that you might have hired a ball gown in a long time ago, but now you can do that with more sort of normal clothing as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's a big thing with all the stuff that we buy. We don't really necessarily need it.
Yeah. So if, as you say, if we do still like to buy stuff, and, you know, it is nice. Fashion is fun, isn't it? So, but we can still do that by using second-hand shops, swapping clothes, as you say, hiring clothes rather than just buying them for ourselves. And all of that will, you know, basically we can still have the fun, but...
Yeah.
But without constantly putting this pressure on the planet. So, you know, it can still be fun, which is good. Now, there's lots of steps there that we can take. But, you know, as you said, this is global climate change is an enormous problem. Are there steps that need to be taken but aren't things that individuals can do? Are there things that we need to ask other people to take action on?
Oh, absolutely. There's loads of things, the really big things where we can feel quite powerless. So the government. So one of the big things is that, you know, vote. Definitely vote for the ones that you think have good sort of strategies and programs for dealing with climate change. So that's a really, really important one. And so we can ask things of our government. We can also ask things of the shops where we buy our stuff, where we buy our clothes, etc. And you know, use our money as a way of voting for the future that we want.
Excellent. Well, those sound
by asking things and you know, not buying perhaps from certain unethical shops, etc.
Our money is very powerful, isn't it? It definitely
Indeed.
Sends a very strong message to the companies mm-hmm. that we're buying from. Carolina, that sounds like fantastic advice, and I'm sure that we will all find plenty there to take away and actually take action on. Thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I was talking there to Carolina Karlstrom. Now, tomorrow, Thursday, St Albans Friends of the Earth will be meeting at the Crown Pub on Hatfield Road in St Albans at 8 o'clock, their regular meeting, to have a chat about what they're doing, or indeed stuff that you might be doing. And on Sunday at 2 o'clock, they'll be getting together with Plastic Free St Albans for a litter pick along the Alban Way. They say meet at the exit from the Alban Way into the Morrison's car park on Hatfield Road and bring gloves and litter pickers if you have them. Now, you can listen to any edition of Environment Matters by going to www.radioverulam.com/podcast, and you can subscribe to the weekly Environment Matters podcast through your favourite podcast provider. I'll be back at the same time next week when we'll hear why Plastic Free St Albans have a problem with balloons. Until then, thank you for listening.
Environment Matters, sponsored by Wooka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wooka.co.uk and join the revolution.